we thank you for your word, your living and active and powerful word. Come and minister, Lord, as we just spend time there. Lord, just fill the atmosphere with your presence. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Just spending some time again, the Lord had me just today, just going over some stuff about just the thing which so easily, Scripture says, so easily entangles us. Hebrews is devoted to, Paul had his hands full with these guys because they were a bunch of course, just about all early Christians were Jewish people that got converted, but these were, and what would happen is they went through a great deal of adversity, and because of that, they were backing up. You know, some of them were moving, kind of going back toward Judaism because of the what they. And so Paul is appealing to them, just, you know, all through the Old Testament. You know, Abraham, Moses, just building up who Christ was, and then he uses this, and we've talked about this before in Hebrews 3 and 4, the story of when they were at Kadesh Barnea, ready to cross over into Canaan, when they sent the spies, and out of 12, only two came back in faith, and the other ones were walking in unbelief. And so the sin of Hebrews 3 and 4, and also picks back up in chapter 11. Chapter 11, of course, is all about faith, and the sin that it's confronting is our unbelief, right? But every sin that we have, everything that we deal with, is ultimately rooted in our unbelief. And this is what it says. We read this the other day about encouraging one another day after day. Paul said that, and that's in Hebrews 3:13. And it says, unless there be any of you that you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, take care, brethren, lest any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart, falling away from the living God. And that word evil is the word for, this word agonies and misery. We think of evil being just dark, you know, demonic. But actually that word is really here is just agony and misery. In other words, he was saying you're in your misery because of your unbelief. Really true. Most of the time when I'm in my misery, or I'm in agony, or I'm stressing out over something, there's one sin I need to confess: my unbelief. You know, and I love in Hebrews 4, it talks about, it's talking about this rest, people who've had good news preached for them, and we who have entered that rest, just as he said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. And thus somewhere concerning the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from all his works. So when they were entering into Canaan, they were entering into a promise, something that God had already done. All through Deuteronomy, if you go back and read the Numbers, there's this promise after promise after promise after promise, right? It wasn't like they walked up there and they just happened to blindly trust the Lord. God had been speaking to them for years about, you know, in their journey, he'd been speaking to them about this, but even years before that, about this land that they were going to enter into, right? And the reason unbelief is so, it's the sin which Hebrews 12, the one which so easily entangles us, right? The word easy. In other words, it's the one that entangles you the most is unbelief. Because we can't understand this. I don't understand if God's works were finished for the foundation. Jesus said, when he said, it is finished, the word we have up here, you know, tetelestai, meaning that where we're going or where we go during the day, God has already been. Right? I love how the Jewish day actually starts at sundown, you know? And then we, at the beginning of God's day, is when we go to sleep. Right? We wake up in his day that he's already been. And Ecclesiastes talks about that. Solomon, you know, the wisest man, God just gave him this wisdom. And he said, I can't understand it, but what is has already been. Right? So, for me, I got to understand that God's already been there. I'm just walking in His rest as walking in His complete finished works. Okay? And we really want the Lord to get that out of us, because the whole thing about in Hebrews 4, when it talks about the Word of God is living and active, the whole context of that is in talking to them about their unbelief. That His Word is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Everything is bare and laid to Him. Right? The Word that God has spoke is living and active. Then he goes on about, you know, Jesus being the high priest, and it says, let us draw near to Him with confidence. So what they're asking Him to do is, Lord, I believe. What I need You to do is help me in my unbelief. That is such a commitment that God has committed to us, to me, to you, helping us defeat this thing, which so easily entangles us. I love what Hebrews 12 says. Therefore, since we have a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside. Now, the witnesses surrounding us, Hebrews 11, he was just talking about, are all the Old Testament saints. Things that happened to him. I learned today, I didn't know this, but according to history, Isaiah supposedly was sawn in two. You read that people were sawn in two, they were destitute. Isaiah was killed and he was sawn in two with a wooden saw. Pretty rough. All of these looking to the promise of God. They're the cloud of witnesses surrounding us saying, go for it. The promise is real, it's true for you. You know, they're praying for us. Even now as we speak, they're surrounding us, speaking and praying into our lives. Even Kelly and Ashley and Jimmy are there with us. Let us run with endurance. Let us lay aside and every encumbrance and the sin. Doesn't say sins. And the sin which so easily entangles us, I believe. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He has sat down at the right hand of God. And that word author is, of course, the word of the first and the leader. He's the leader of faith for us, and he's the perfecter of my faith, right? We hear this a lot around here, and it's really true. I was just talking to the Lord about that today. God, just give me more revelation of, because Paul talked to them about that in Hebrews 3, too, that you've become partakers of Christ. So he's perfecting my faith, but what he's perfecting and working in me is my union with his faith, right? In other words, it's his job to perfect my faith, not mine. Because it says here, fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the leader of faith. He's the author. He's the one that gets rid of your unbelief. He's the one that untangles your feet, right? And so God is at work now. He's at work in you. He's at work in me. And what he's putting to death is what you need put to death more than anything is your unbelief. We are where we are because of our unbelief. I am where I am, wherever I am that day, if I find myself in agony or misery in any way. Simple, it's my unbelief. And the Lord make it just so simple, you know. I don't have to go through all this stuff. And I use this example, you've heard me say this before. We always help people with, you know, anger's a big deal. Anger's the fruit, not the root. I can't deal anger by picking, like an apple tree, picking the apples off. That's like dealing with anger, trying to do that. Usually, anger is always tied into control. You're angry because things are out of your control. You want to control. Well, usually control is always tied into fear, right? I want to control the situation because of, you know, I'm afraid it might get out of hand or something might happen, right? But fear's always rooted in unbelief. Lord showed me that in a dream one time. I was digging a hole and I had these overwhelming feelings of fear. And as I was digging the hole, it was like that was the first scene. The next scene, I was down in the bottom of that hole looking up and I was, and the Lord spoke. I heard it clearly in the dream. He said this, fear's rooted in unbelief. Because I had these sense, I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but I had these feelings of unbelief, you know? Like I was having a hard time believing or something, doubting. And I woke up, and I think it was that was like early Sunday morning, late Saturday night. And that morning, I forgot what Bishop was preaching on, but he had just read somewhere, and he said, you know, I just read that fear is rooted in unbelief. That was a lot of confirmation to me, right? Because one of the things the Lord showed me early in my walk, I just saw this vision of all these columns that just went forever. And I was like, Lord, what are these columns? Because I knew they were columns because they were being torn down. And the Lord said, that's fear in you. I thought, oh my God, you know? But really what we've been dealing with through the years is my unbelief, not my fear. You know? Fear is just a result. I can't get rid of the fear without confessing my unbelief, right? That's what the only thing that kept him from entering into his fullness. Not knowledge. They didn't know jack about this land other than it was a good land, you know, flowing with milk and honey. You're going to go in and possess by dispossessing your enemies. I've given it to you. Go. That's all they knew. By faith, walking in there. Okay? Same thing with our life in Christ. You don't have to get it all or understand it all. Just know this. He's the leader and perfecter of your faith. It's his job. It's his job to bring you into union with his faith. Because he has faith to believe for you. Right? When I find myself thinking, Lord, I'm just having a hard time believing here. And he said, I don't. You know, he spoke the world into existence. Gosh, you know. So, Lord, I can't run with my feet tied. It's like running with Jesus in one of those three-legged races, you know. Just keeping stride with him, right? It's his job. Amen.